Morning. Everybody doing okay? Good. Just in case, because I don't think anybody said this earlier in the service, but just in case, I know we've said this last couple weeks, we're going to be talking about some stuff today that if you've got young kids in here, unless you've had some serious talks about sex with them, you may want to let them slip on out to kids' church, preschool. Not trying to be unfriendly on that, just trying to be honest, because we're going to talk about some serious stuff today. That has to do with the reasoning behind why I think so many people are seeking divorce. This series is really based upon the fact that I personally, along with so many people around me, as I've talked with other pastors and other counselors, the number of people that are seeking to end their marriages is just astronomical. And we felt like this is something that we needed to do as a church, to look at Scripture and to see what Scripture has to say about those relationships, our marriage relationships. And for those of you that are single, getting ready for that, maybe, if you're lucky. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be good. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be good. Now, I want to have you do me just a little quick something here, just to entertain me, if that's okay with you. I want you to do something. If your husband or your wife is sitting there, or let's say your fiance, I want you to take their hand right now. Just grab their hand. And last week we talked about that women need one thing and men need the other. Women need love. Somebody's like, love. I heard that. I like that. And then men need what? Come on with that. So women need love and men need respect. I don't know if you remember the Cardigan song. It went, love me, say that you love me. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, now ladies, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your husband and in your best little Cardigan voice right there, I want you to sing that little piece to him right now. Go ahead and do that right now. I don't think everybody did it. That's not near as much fun. All right, just do this. Turn to your husband and just say, love me, love me. One, two, three. That's great. All right, now guys, this is even better. Guys, you're going to thank me after this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. Guys, I want you, because you need respect, I want you to turn to your wife just as soon as I finish saying this sentence. Just turn to your wife and say what I'm about to say. I want you to say, who's your daddy? Go, right now. One, two, three. That's right. That's right. Okay. So women need love and men need respect. Love me, who's your daddy? That's kind of where we're headed today. And honestly, that's kind of where we're headed the next couple of weeks. So you can just be looking forward to more of this as this goes on. By the way, next weekend we have got, in fact, in your seats, you had these little cards where you could ask a question. I think it says, ask any question. And I made a joke last week about it. You can ask any question you want to, but it may not be relevant to what we're talking about. This is for specifically, if you were just to be able to anonymously ask a question of a marriage counselor, something that maybe you're dealing with in your marriage or whatever, that you're just sitting around going, you know what, I really wonder what a marriage counselor would say to us about this one thing. And of course, you know, it's different from situation to situation, but something that you would like to ask. Next weekend, we've got a marriage counselor friend of mine that is going to be here that has been doing this for years. And he is going to come and hang out with us, and we're going to approach some of the questions you turn in today and some that you turned in last week. And so we'll be going through those, but today's the last day you can turn those in. So if you've got a question, go ahead and do that and turn it in at the end of the service in the offering or whatever. Thing that I want to start us out on today is talking about communication. Communication. How important is communication? Let me tell you how important communication is. I see more problems derived from bad communication than just about anything else when it comes to ministry, when it comes to relationships. I mean, it's just ridiculous. In fact, I got to deal with some bad communication this past week in the life of our church. There's a bunch of rumors going around that apparently our staff's going out and getting drunk and mishandling the money and a whole bunch of junk. It's just and completely all untrue. And we've got, you know, proof of all of it. It's all good. We're all okay. And I looked at this person and it just surprised me because I thought this person would have known better to have believed these things, but they got sold on something because someone else was just sure that these things must be happening. Probably because we have a young staff, and we've always known that when we have a young staff, Satan will throw sticks and stones at us. And it just reminded me that when bad communication, when someone's sarcastic comment, and here's a sarcastic comment for you, and this can lead into bad communication. Many of you know John Nix. He's our student pastor. We're close friends. He and I are known from time to time, after we've had a long day in ministry together, to say, hey, let's just go get drunk. Let's go get smashed. Well, the truth is that John nor I have ever even had alcohol. But this is something that we say. And it can create bad communication. That's not necessarily a good thing. Probably something we need to reevaluate. And we've talked about that since then. You know, bad communication. Well, even worse, bad communication is bad communication that happens within our homes. Bad communication that happens between you and the person that maybe you're dating. Because I'm just telling you, and by the way, single folks, what they're like now is what they're going to be like after you marry them. Is there any married people here to amen that statement for me? Are there any ladies in here today that can say that this guy that I married when I was 18 years old, 20 years old, he is still acting like the 12-year-old that he was when he was 18 and 20 years old now that he's 40-something, 50-something years old? Anybody can attest to this for me? Okay, all right, just checking. This is so applicable to even the single person. The single person, you got some scripture here for you today. And married people, we got some for us too, and it's good. It's good. Communication. Ephesians 4:29. It says this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Men, we are called to build up our wife. And women, we are called, you're called, to build up your husband. That's one of those things that we know, we've heard that scripture before, and this is just talking about in general everybody under the sun, but I'm just going to go ahead and say here today, I think it's pretty safe to say that if God expects this of us in dealing with just everyday people all the time, then He surely expects it of us in our spousal relationship. It means so much when we communicate with one another. Now, this is tough for us guys, and women, you don't have to amen that, but this is tough for us, and it's tough for us because we're like this. We come home, our wife says, how's your day, honey? Fine. Okay, well, hey, are we going to go tonight to the ball game? Yeah. What time's it at? I don't know. Well, do you know where I can find out? Schedule on a refrigerator. I mean, and this is, you know, so many of us are so guilty of this that we don't realize that we have ceased to communicate with one another. I mean, you just think back to when we first started dating. What was that like? What's your favorite color? What? Where is that from? When was the last time that we asked our wives what her favorite color was? When was the last time that we were interested in what they did today? You see, there is a communication breakdown that is taking place in homes all across the land. And this communication breakdown is leading many people to not having a relationship anymore. And this, without this type of relationship, without a relationship where you communicate, you are eventually going to find yourself dried up, and what? Eventually, you're not going to know this person. We talked a little bit about this last week, and talked a little bit about a lot of what I've seen, definitely in ministry over the years. I've seen families, church-going, godly people, you know, so involved with their kids that they've missed each other. And the truth be known is that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's happening in homes, because this communication thing is just as big when it comes to this. We take out our frustrations on each other. We don't let our wholesome talk come through all the time. In fact, it gets unwholesome. In fact, if you were to take this passage in Ephesians 4, where it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, and it may benefit those who listen." When it's saying unwholesome right there, if you translate the Greek on this junk right here, it basically comes out as spoiled fish. Get some of that. Spoiled fish. And I would venture to say that if we were to put some hidden cameras and mics into your homes, we would probably find some spoiled fish in the air. Would we not? From time to time. We let it happen. And what it does is it degrades that person that we, deep down, we really love. And because we've had a bad day or something's gone wrong, we take something out on them. Or maybe they make a mistake. As if we couldn't do that ourselves. James 1:19 says this, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now I'll just tell you, this is another one that men have trouble with. And I'm just going to throw myself in here. We have got to simmer it down and listen sometimes. Sometimes we've just got to listen. And that's one of those things that, you know, I don't think we realize how important it is for us to listen to each other. There are days of my life that I think that the only time people want to talk to me or have anything to do with me is to only talk about our church. My conversations with something, and then I just start yakking your ear off. What do you think that's about? It's because sometimes I just want to talk about something that's just, you know, a fun-loving thing. And now that our church is not fun-loving, but sometimes when it is your job, and you understand this, you don't always want to think about it 24/7, talk about it 24/7. The people that come into your life that will listen to you make a big difference. And if you don't believe me, then you just try not listening to your spouse and you wait to see who will listen to them and see if that doesn't start a road down toward adultery. And there's a bunch of those roads, but that is one of those things that I think we've just thrown out the window and said, you know what, oh, you know, we're good Christians, you know, we don't always have to talk, we're all, you know, we're okay. Listen, somebody's going to listen to them at some point. It is our job as a spouse, and it is work being married. Make no mistake about that. And Scripture points to that and talks about that. Make no mistake, it is hard work to make marriage work. But I'll tell you what, it is worth every bit of it. And it is definitely worth us doing. James 1:19, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And we're all guilty of that. We all fall into that trap. I know that. Well, you say, "Chris, we just don't have time. We're just so busy." Then you need to change your schedule. Because I'll just tell you right now that there's only one thing more important than your relationship with your spouse. And that's your relationship with God. If you're too busy to make time with your spouse, then you're too busy. And let me just tell you what, you start getting the priorities out of sync with where they're supposed to be. You take God out of first place, you take your spouse out of second place, you take your kids, your family out of third place, stuff's going to start falling apart. Things at work may be going pretty good, but I guarantee you God's not going to continue to bless that job because you are out of what He has called you to do. Everybody wants to know, "I want to be in God's will. I just wish I knew God's will for my life." Well, guess what? It's right here. This is it. You want the golden brick road? This is it. God has given us everything that we need to understand what it means to live for Him and to live in His will. And one of the biggest things that we can do is to keep those priorities in check. Our kids need to see that. By the way, we talked about kids last week. And one thing that I just forgot to throw out that I think is just so extremely important for us to always remember is, you know, we talked about, you know, just our willingness sometimes because, I don't mind saying this, I think because we are a selfish generation that we like to pawn our kids off on other people for them to raise. And I just want to say this one thing, and that is that anybody can do your job, but only you can raise your kids. And that goes for me too. And I'll just tell you that my family even comes before our church because God has called me to be a dad first, well, a believer first, a dad's a husband second, and then a dad third. He's called me to the same exact things that He has you. And our kids need us to model that for them. And we're fighting things that have happened with a feminist movement back in the 60s all the way up of, you know, you go and you go get them and all this stuff. And, once again, everybody's got different situations, and I know that. But some of us can make it, and the only reason that some of us do what we do and work so hard and we don't have time is because we just want more stuff. And we want new clothes all the time. And I'm just telling you, God is not going to bless that. But what He is going to bless is you chilling with your family and making time where time needs to be made. You say, Chris, I can't see how we need to make time. I can't see where we're going to make time. You need to start taking things out of the schedule. You need to start saying no at work. If you work overtime all the time to the point that you don't get to see your family, you need to start saying no. He's like, Chris, I don't know how we'll do that and make ends meet. You're taking God out of the equation when you do that. It's just very simple and it's very scriptural. If you need to hear the message from last week, you can go online and hear it at encryptedculture.com, which is where all the stuff is these days. Here's something I want to encourage you to do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care if you're not married yet. I want you to remember this thing that I'm about to tell you. And some of you already know this because we've talked about this before when we did a series about the family. But you need to set a date night. You need to set it. You need to set a time where you and your spouse make one-on-one time for each other. Shack the kids up at mom and dad's or, send them to Nathan's house or something. You know, we'll find somebody. We'll help you. But here's the thing. It is so important for us to remember the person that we have married, to not lose that love, to not lose that connection, to not lose communication with them. It's so important that it is worth us making time, and the date night thing is the best way to go. Turn off the cell phones. I don't care if you're on call to save the world. Some of us think that we are like Will Smith in Independence Day, and it is all up to us to just do the whole thing, you know? And that's not the truth. And I'll just be honest with you, I fall into that pitfall all the time. But I'll tell you what, when I will turn my phone off to spend time with my wife, that probably means more to her. You could ask her if you want to. That probably means more to her than anything else that I could do for her. Because people are always pining for our time. And the truth is that we don't give our spouse the time that they deserve most of the time. Make time. Talking with my counselor friend that's going to be here next week, he told me a story when we had lunch the other day. He said, Chris, this is how important communication is. He said, now this is not pleasant communication, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that before I share this story. He said, but here's the deal. He said, this communication is one of those communications that ends marriage. And here's what went down. I'm just going to give you the brief story. Here's just kind of sum the whole thing up. He said, I've met with these people for weeks. This guy was reluctant to come to counseling. He didn't want to be there. It was so obvious. They came. And of course, she talked him into getting there and all this stuff. And then came the bottom line. One day in counseling, they had already gotten the papers to file for divorce. They were ready to call it quits. And one day in counseling, he said the guy wouldn't hardly talk, And he said, I looked at him and I said, you're not being straight with us. What is it that you're not saying? What is it that you're not telling? And he divulged that he had had an affair on the side several months earlier for, you know, a period of time. And what had happened, as Floyd was sharing this with me, he said, Chris, he said that one thing that was in his heart that he knew of, it was completely wrecking their marriage. He said they had a picture-perfect deal going on, going to church, the whole thing. That, he said, yeah, there was some hurt. There was some anger at first. He said, but automatically, that marriage started getting better by the week. Every week I saw them, every month I saw them. He said, Chris, you wouldn't believe how much better that marriage got. He said, and now today, he said, you know, they still, you know, just like the rest of us, go from day to day dealing with things. He said, but you know what? They're not looking at the divorce papers anymore. Some of us in here today are looking at the divorce papers. Many of you, I know too many people looking at the divorce papers today. And I just want, and I said this last week, but I want to be the voice of reason to you right now, that if nobody else in your life is saying, stay with it, I am. And just know that it's not just because I want you to, it is because God has called me to teach this series that we're doing. And I'll just tell you, misery loves company. You go to the right people in your life and they're going, oh, get rid of that guy. I hate men. Out the door. You know, oh, yeah, you could do much better than her. What about that waitress that was eyeing you the other day? She was pretty good looking. You know, yeah, go with that. Get rid of her. You know, make sure you seek counsel from the right people. Communication leads us to intimacy. Intimacy is one of those things that I think a lot of times we don't talk a lot about. In fact, I want us just very quickly, we're going to look through. We did these surveys last weekend, and many of you probably filled one of these out. By the way, we fingerprinted them when we got done. I'm just kidding. We did take video though, and we numbered them on the back, and you didn't know, but no. We're going to look at the results of these surveys together. So let's go ahead and let's see the first one of these things. And I think the first one is, do you go on a date with your spouse at least two times a month? Man, this, I'll tell you what, this is great. This is better than I thought it would be. I'm really happy to see this. It's 29% always. That's good stuff. 44% never. 44%, almost half of the people that were sitting in this room last weekend, never do that. Let's go to the next one. Do you eat dinner around the table at least three times per week? Some of these I'm going to kind of walk through us through with us, but some of these I'm just going to let you kind of check out. The next one is, do your children sleep in their own beds, not your bed, every night? That's good. Do you and your spouse have TLC on a daily basis? Need to? I'll just tell you, I'll stop on this one just real quick. Ladies, you need this. Men, we need to know that. I'm telling you something, because ladies, just know we're stupid. We're just idiots sometimes, and we just don't know some things. And I know a lot of times you all don't want to divulge it all, so I'm kind of letting us all in on something. Men, they need this all the time, okay? The next one, do you get away for a weekend alone as a couple without the kids at least two times a year? This is tough, but those are much better numbers than I expected to see on that. Do you have sexual intimacy with your spouse at least two times a week? This is kind of divided up, almost kind of evenly across the board here. And you know, I think truthfully, this is one of those things that, you know, a lot of us don't like to talk about, and we would like to just kind of sweep it under the rug and say, you know what, it's not that important. But I'm going to tell you, it is that important. It is that important. We're going to look at Scripture and what Scripture says about that. The next one, do you and your spouse present a unified front when your children question your authority? The next one, do you have a set bedtime for your kids, teens, that is consistently enforced? That's good. Do you regularly evaluate your calendar to prevent ECA-itis, overscheduling of extracurricular activities? I would venture to say that a lot of us don't do this, and of course you see 42% never. But that's one of those things that I think just again, it's just too easy to just go on like things are right now. Last one here for the married is weekly church attendance a priority for you and your children? And that's great. And obviously, you know, if you're here, then you know I'd like to sit down and shake it up for a day and ask that question, you know, just anonymously to folks and see what they came up with. Now here's the single. That was the married side of the survey. Let's look at the single side of the survey. It says, do you date with marriage being the end goal in mind? That's great. Those are good numbers. Do you date others that are not Christians? It's coming. Do you date others that are not Christians? Is it freezing up on us? If it is, it's okay. You know, we're asking this crowd, which, you know, obviously is going to have something to do with that. Do you think that divorce is something that could happen to you? 12% said always. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, maybe that could be single people that have already been divorced, but I've got to believe that a certain part of that is, you know, people that are entering relationships thinking, I am going to get divorced. I can't even imagine that. Can't even imagine that. And of course, a lot of that will have to do with, you know, what our parents went through and what we've seen and what we think of when it comes to relationships. In your dating relationships, do you discuss issues such as money, parenting, and future goals? That's great. That's really good. Would you want to have a marriage like your parents? There's no guessing with that one, is there? There's no, I wonder who was the 1%, because no one wants to. And I think here, let me just tell you, there's some wisdom in seeing our parents' relationships and saying, you know what, that was great and that was not so good, and I want to do a little bit better here or there. You know, there's some wisdom with that. Do you know couples who have marriages you would like to imitate? That's good. I wish it was higher, though. Do you find yourself settling in your relationships in order to avoid being lonely? Man, that's just split right down the middle when it comes to, there's not even just some sometimes. It's like, yeah, that's definitely, or it's not. I don't even know what to say to that. Do you think it's okay to date someone who is separated from their spouse but not divorced? That's interesting. Do you treat those you date with respect, realizing that they aren't your spouse, they are someone else's? That's an incredible 100%. Do you think living together before you're married will make a marriage stronger? Very interesting. Can marriage be a commitment of the heart without a public ceremony? Sometimes. Do you think that people change their bad habits after they're married? <laughs> 38%. I hope you listened earlier. I want to take you through some scripture. I want you to know there is so much on this subject when it comes to scripture. I have really had a hard time with just narrowing this thing down, but I just felt like there's a couple of passages we've definitely got to hit, and we're just going to go ahead and we're going to hit it straight on right now. And we're going to be talking about sex here. This is intimacy, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Some of you men will want to jot this down on your arm. Some of you women will too, and you can bring it back out on your spouse later. 6 verse 12. Now this is what we're starting off here with is bad sex. There's bad sex and good sex. And we're going to talk about the bad sex. And the bad sex goes like this in verse 12 of chapter 6. 1 Corinthians, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, right off the bat, let me just go ahead and tell you what's kind of happening here in the city of Corinth. When Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth, he is aware that there is a bunch of immorality going on in this city. And that the church of Corinth is having to deal with this in such a major way that they're having questions. They are sending him questions about a bunch of stuff that is just really rocking his world and rocking the boat here. And Paul's just like, you know what? I'm just not sure that, you know, you really know what's going on. Here's what God's will is for our lives. And so as Paul's writing this, he's saying, you know, I know that it is tempting to fall into sexual immorality. And that, in fact, that's what this first passage is about, and you'll see that here in just a second. But what was happening is right down the street from the church at Corinth was another church, not to our God, but to another God that was made up, and part of their ceremony was sex. And so, you know, just the people random in the community, and some of you can understand what this is like because, you know, at just some point in life, you decided, you know what, I really need to be involved in church. We should probably go to church. Well, what church do we want to go to? Well, we can go to the church that, you know, is the church at Corinth. We don't know a whole lot about them, but I think they, you know, we got some guys that are constantly coming by and sending in some letters and stuff to talk about what this, you know, Almighty God wants for our lives. But then what about that church down there? You know, they kind of got the sex thing going on. Maybe we should go visit that one. I wonder what their kids' program is like. And, you know, and I'm just thinking, you know, this was the dilemma going on at Corinth. I mean, this was the real deal. And Paul is writing this letter and he's saying, you know what, everything, you know, things are permissible. Everything is permissible for me. I can do whatever I want to do, but that doesn't make it right. And so many of us as Christians, and there's other, you know, Protestant beliefs that worship the same God that we do, and some of you may be sitting in here today with this thought in your mind that, you know, well, I'm a Christian, so I can just go live like hell during the week, and as long as I go to church and ask for forgiveness, everything is okay because Christ died for me. Well, let me just let you know, you're stomping on the cross when you do that. You're breaking the heart of God when you do that. And this one thing is so important, and Paul brings out some things here, and I'll just tell you, most churches won't talk about this. But we need to talk about it today, because I'll tell you what, some of your marriages are on the rocks, and some of it's because of some of this. It says in verse 13, food for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We were created to glorify God, not to misuse what we have been given to please ourselves. Verse 14, it says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? This will put some things in perspective for you. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, and Paul is quoting Christ right here, and it says, the two will become one flesh, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, right off the bat, you know, this is going to hit some folks here, and I know that it is. And let me just go ahead and throw something out that one of my biggest regrets in life is that I could not take virginity to the table when I got married. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not saying, hey, look at me, or whatever. I'm just saying, as I'm talking through this scripture, this hit home with me at a time in my life as well. And I had to repent, and I had to go to my wife before we got married and say, hey, you need to know this about me, and confess where I was at, where I had been physically. And I think a lot of times we just want to discount this stuff. We don't want to talk about stuff. We don't want to think about this stuff. You need to think about this stuff. This stuff is affecting us spiritually. The two will become one flesh. When we have sex, Christ himself says that the two are becoming one flesh. This is something so astronomically huge when it comes to our spiritual walk, when it comes to who we are, when it comes to the relationships around us, the way that God wired us up was to be married and then having sex. You say, Chris, well, you know, we're hanging out, you know, we're doing good. You know what? I'm a sucker for some of these crazy shows that are on TV. And I'll just tell you what one of them is. Gene Simmons Family Jewels. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't have a clue. Gene Simmons was the lead singer. I guess he still is the lead singer. They're still trying to do it as Kiss, the band Kiss. And Gene is not married to the woman that he lives with. They have two kids. The end of the season, if you want to know, was that she might be pregnant, and they're not young pups, and so they're all kind of worried about that. And, you know, I watch this show, and I see and I hear talk that happens on the show. In fact, I even saw where Gene went in a store or something the other day, and they referred to the lady that is his partner with his last name. And he said, oh, no. Her name is something different than mine. And so I just was watching that and just thinking, you know, this is crazy. And here's what it comes down to. It is a lack of commitment. It is a lack of commitment. There's so much I want to say, and we don't have the time for it today. I'm sorry. I could do a series on this. If you'd like that idea, you can say so sometime. As it goes on in verse 17, it says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You, catch this, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your God with your body. We were bought through Christ on the cross. And I don't have as much time as I wish I did today to really explain the ramifications that when we live in sexual sin, what that does to us spiritually and what that is doing to the possibility of us marrying that person that we're living with or that we're sleeping with, or to the possibility that we're going to marry somebody else one day and the ramifications of what happens with that. And I can speak to that some, but probably not even as much as I know some of you here, and it's not a knock on anybody here. But it's understanding what God has meant for us and us to do something about it, to make the right moves, to move forward in being who God has called us to be. And that is to create that relationship, that bond in marriage. All sex is bad sex that is not sex with your heterosexual spouse. And that has to be said. That's just scriptural. Don't do anything till you get married. And then when you get married, do it all, okay? And now we're going to talk about getting married. So here we go. Are you ready? This is something for everybody right here. I don't know if you got anything to write on. I don't know if you brought your Bible with you today. If you own a highlighter, you'll probably wear it out. It says in chapter 7, right after chapter 6, we ended chapter 6, chapter 7, it goes on. Now for the matters you wrote about. This is, you know, Paul saying, for all the questions that you sent me, it is good for a man not to marry. Well, that sounds kind of crazy. What's that mean? Well, you go on verse 2. Just hold on. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute because he comes back to it. It says, but since there is so much immorality, because even back then, it was not just like today. Back then, so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. So Paul is not saying, hey, don't get married. He's just saying, chill out. Chill out if you're not. Chill out if you are. We'll see that later in this scripture. Verse 3. This is good stuff. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. I'm going to read it again. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Ladies, what does that mean? It means exactly what you hope it means. It means that we as husbands are responsible for pleasing you as our wives. It is our responsibility as the husband to fulfill your needs sexually. What goes on and likewise the wife to her husband. Guys, what does that mean? Exactly what every one of you thinks that it means and hopes that it means. Okay? It's okay. Loosen up. Loosen up. It's okay. Guys, I know, automatically you're like, man, I can't wait for tonight. I got a verse. And you do. It's okay. He does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. Ladies, I know sometimes, you know, you're like, I just don't want to be touched. Listen, he wants to touch you because he likes you. And you say, well, I just don't want to be seen as a sex object by my husband. Wait just a minute. You don't? I mean, really think about that. I think you do. And I sure hope you do, because I don't think you want him to see other people as his sex object. That is his desire. He goes on right after that. Excuse me. It says, in the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except for mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of a lack of self-control. What is that about? That's saying, go have sex so you're not tempted to do it elsewhere. This is Scripture commanding you as married people to do this most sacred, incredible thing that God has given us. Because it's not about God not liking sex. He created it. He came up with it. It's about Him approving of what good, great sex is. And that is sex within the bonds of marriage. It's just plain and simple. And I know a lot of times we don't talk about this, but it's here. And we need to talk about it. And the truth is that many of us in here in this room today are struggling with this in our marriage, and we don't know what to do about it. It says in verse 7, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. What was Paul? Paul was single. And Paul is basically saying here, you know what I think? I think so many single people miss the boat in realizing that they're sometimes single for a purpose. Sometimes God is wanting them to take the extra time that a married person might not have to do God's work. Sometimes that is purposely so. Sometimes it's because they're not ready. There's plenty of other reasons. But Paul goes on and says, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I don't think I need to explain that. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must separate from her husband. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she, sorry about that. That could be bad, couldn't it? But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. Now, Paul is very clear in this passage of Scripture. And I'm just going to get to the bottom line of some of this stuff here that are questions that are going off in people's heads right now. Some of you are saying right now, Chris, I'm already divorced. I've already been through things like this. And man, the circumstances were just unbelievable. I'm not going to tell you today that your divorce didn't break the heart of God, because I'm sure that it did. But what I can tell you today is that you do have forgiveness through Christ on the cross. And that forgiveness does cover even these things. God doesn't want these things to happen. He doesn't want us to fall into those things. He doesn't want those things to happen to us, because He knows what's best for us. And I think any of you in here that have been through a divorce could attest today to what a detrimental thing that has been to your life. I doubt there's any of you in here today other than you're just, you know, miserable, and you're just, you know, one of these people that just walks around through life just going, you know, all the time. and you love company, and so you want people to join you in your little misery company deal, you know, other than those folks, anybody that's honest would tell you that has been through a divorce, I'll just tell you, don't go there unless it is just the end of the world for your life. Don't go there. And Paul is saying, don't go there. As a single person, you may be sitting here today and you're going, okay, well, I'm single and I'm hearing the scripture and some of the scripture. And Paul, you know, he's saying, you know, oh, well, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to handle this? Where am I supposed to go? And I'm just going to tell you that Paul is just being really honest about just listening to God. If you really study the scripture right here, all throughout these two passages of scripture, he is specifically talking to single people. And one of the things that he is saying, be still and listen to the Lord. Don't jump. But if you burn with passion, pay attention to that and look to be married. Now, the totals say that 90% of us will be married. And so more than likely, you will be married. And some of you in here, you're searching and you're searching hard. And you're saying, oh, there's nobody to marry. Well, there's probably people here in our church that you could go marry right now. Granted, some of them are kind of crazy, and we've got little, you know, homing devices on them to just kind of track the crazy ones or whatever to kind of, you know, let you know. But the truth is that God wants us to wait on Him. And if you don't know, then don't jump. Because marriage is the most important thing that you will do on this earth outside of coming to know Christ. Some of you maybe are here today and you don't know Christ, and I just want to encourage you this morning that if you don't know Christ, that you would seek someone out right after the service to talk to him about that. I'll be down front. I would be glad to do that. One of the last things that I just want to share with you this morning is just a little something out of the Song of Solomon. And we're not going to go through the scripture. I had scripture for this, but we just don't have time. But in the Song of Solomon, and by the way, this is a good book for married couples. You should really go read this. And single people, you'll burn with passion if you go read it. So just be careful, because then you'll need to get married. According to Scripture, that's the way it goes. But in Song of Solomon, there are three uses of the word, the English word love. And I think this is one of those words that we throw around a lot. And we, you know, I love my wife. And I love this. And I love God. And I love bean burritos. And there's a difference there in some of these loves, and you need to know that. And the first one of these is you know, and I like to put it to a flame, is Raya. And the Raya flame, it stands for a friend, a companion. She's my best friend. He's my best friend. Well, another use of this, and once again, I'll be glad to give you some scripture on this later. Maybe I'll tell you what, we'll post it on Encrypted Culture so you can go and check out, and I'll put what each one goes with. But the second one is Ahava, and it's the Ahava flame, and it means deep affection, sense of desire to be with someone that your heart aches for. And you know, I think this is one of those that I think we leave out sometimes. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. And then you have, you know, the Ahava flame, just to kind of clarify that, the Ahava flame is the flame that when you're first starting to date someone, you've maybe already known them. When Aaron and I first started dating, we knew each other for a couple of years, and so we already kind of had the Raya flame. And then, you know, we go out, you know, the first time I remember going out and us hanging out and the Jungle Juice night and the whole thing in my car, and I remember just going, I wonder if there is any Ahava flame here to go with this. Well, there's a third flame, and the third flame is Dod. And Dod means to carouse, to rock, to fondle. Scriptural. The physical, sexual element. It's where we get the Greek word eros, which in our English language is where we have taken the word erotic. See, here's what happens. We have somebody, let's say two people, and they have an affair. And they get the Dod flame out in the, and they share the dode flame. And what they're trying to do is that they're trying to make as much heat as the three flames all together, but it doesn't work, and it eventually just goes out and it just becomes useless. Same thing also happens with maybe somebody that's been married. Maybe you've been married for a long time. Maybe you've not been married for a long time. And already the dode flame is gone, and you know, the ahava flame is, you know, still there a little bit. But maybe you're mostly just kind of hanging on to the ra'ah flame. And it's really just that one flame, and it's really just commitment that's keeping you together. But there's no dode. There's no ra'ah. And you see, the way God intended love between a man and a woman in marriage to be is that there are all three flames. There is ra'ah, there is ahava, and that there is dode. And when that happens, when we have those three flames together, we make that kind of fire. And the trouble is that in this day of age, we've tried to take these individual flames and make them what we want them to be. Like it's a short order cook kind of thing. And the truth is that we will never be complete, and those relationships will never be complete until that friendship is there, until that commitment is there, until that physical, sexual flame is there. When we complete each other, we have what God intended. And I'm afraid that most of us in here tonight are probably missing one of those in our relationships with our spouse. Some of you that are in here that are single, you're dabbling around and you're kind of thinking, well, I'm going to try this out, or I'm going to maybe try to live with this person first, or whatever. I'm just telling you, Scripture points every direction that this is so deep and so spiritual that we just don't have any idea, and that we're setting ourselves up for disaster to not do it God's way. He made it. He knows how it works best. Follow after what it is that He wants for our lives. The three flames are meant to burn together. And as for us in our spousal relationships, make time. Set the date night. God is a God of sex. He created it. It's all about oneness, pleasure, and procreation. And this is huge. It is reflective in the nature and the... I want you to just bow your heads and just pray with me for just a moment here. God, I just pray, Lord, right now for the marriages that are represented here in this room. God, I pray for the future marriages that will be, that maybe don't exist yet. God, I know that there's some folks here, God, that are struggling with, maybe they live together, they're sleeping together. I don't know, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would see the importance of bringing in the ahava flame, that they would be committed, that they won't fall into the Gene Simmons category of life. But that, God, that they would want to go all the way, that they would want their flame to burn strong, that they would want to be two in one flesh. God, I just lift up every one of these couples that are here today. God, every one of these singles that are here today. God, there may be somebody here today that's here without their spouse because their spouse doesn't want to come. And God, I know that we have a lot of folks in that boat. God, I just really want to lift them up right now. God, that they would know that they are called not to leave that marriage, but God, that they are called to love that person. Maybe into knowing you. Maybe into growing again in their relationship with you. But God, just use them. Use us all where we're at. Bless our marriages. Lord God, just have your hand on us. May our marriages burn hot for you and be strong for you and for your kingdom. May they imitate what it means to be the bride of Christ. God, I thank you for being straight up honest about something, God, that makes us a little uneasy at times. And God,
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share your word on it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.